Let me see. Yeah. We're live, pal. This is Wrestling with Red Curtains, episode 12 or 13, featuring my co-host, John Mason.
Yes, what's up?
How is everybody doing today?
Well, I know I'm doing well. I hope everybody who's listening is doing well. I've promoted it to a few new people recently, it being this podcast, of course. So hopefully we got some new listeners. You get to hear Justin and I talk about wrestling, so that's fun. And if you're a returning listener, here's the energy drink of the day being cracked open. Not the first one, but hopefully the last for the rest of the day. We'll see. I just want to give a quick shout out to the cashier at the store because I'm very broke right now, and I went up there with what I thought would be about exact change, and I was short about 25 cents, and they completely fronted me. So that was awesome. I was totally willing to put back one of my two energy drinks. I was like, no, that's okay. I'm short. It's my fault. This young lady was so sweet. So I believe in the power of good deeds. It'll come back to that young lady. That is for sure. That was really sweet of her. I know it was only like less than a quarter, but that meant a lot to me.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the little things. It really is, man. It really is.
And I got caught up in the monsoon today after Spanish class. It was like a torrential thunderstorm. I had to like wait inside a grade school for like 10 minutes trying to get the monsoon to die down.
That's what kept me from going out for a walk to get some caffeine. So I was getting a little antsy because I was running out of drinks here, and I only had like two of them because I'm an idiot and drink way too many, but they've got different supplements that I take, so it's kind of helping me stay on a budget in a way. It's the cheap way of kind of poisoning yourself, but also taking things that are healthy for you, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Everyone says energy drinks are bad for you, but they can't tell me why. So if you can, right into the show, fax the show, telegram the show.
Okay, do we have a fax address?
I hope so. We definitely need one. We also need a theme song for our show as well. You rap, I can kind of rap, and I make music sometimes. So we need we we'll do that. We'll get to brainstorming.
I think the Ultimate Warrior Unstable would be a good rendition for this theme song, or wrestling theme song, whatever it's going to be.
Well, we could always do some sort of remix with that.
That sounds fun. But anywho, on to the ventures of the day. We have to start out with Vince McMahon retiring.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest thing, right? Like in a long time.
Yeah, I would assume that the whole wrestling world went crazy because we assumed that Vince was going to stay on till he was dead. And not secede power to anybody. But I'm assuming with all these sexual assault allegations going on, Vince thought it was good to just take the allegations and run like a scalded dog to wherever he needed to run to.
Yeah, it does kind of feel that way. It seems like maybe the board of directors or whoever else is in charge in Vince's ear was like, hey, pal, it's time now, whether you want to or not. So I am hoping it leads to some interesting things, leading to maybe new talent getting chances, maybe some talent who have left coming back, because there are reports of that. People say that they wouldn't have left, you know? We don't know who these people supposedly are, but it was, I think, Sean Ross Sapp who reported it. He's usually pretty reliable, so I would take his word, you know, for what it is there.
Do you want to talk about the people? I know there was rumors of let's talk about four people specifically. And I want to talk about this list because these names are getting brought all over the internet. And you can
Okay.
tell me whether or not they're coming back. And the four names I wanted to bring up were Bray Wyatt, Johnny Gargano, Sasha Banks, and Naomi.
Interesting four names. Okay, because Sasha and Naomi, I saw right off the bat, people were talking about them saying, hey, maybe there's a chance that those two will come back. Yeah, maybe if Vince was the biggest problem, but there would have to be some sort of guarantee that they're going to focus more on the seriousness of either just the women's tag division alone, which they haven't done anything really with,
Yeah,
right,
they
since they left.
nothing.
Yeah. So I don't know if that was their big point or just their overall creative or what the deal was. Bray Wyatt, who knows? I guess that depends who didn't seem to like him backstage and who did. You heard all different kind of reports about him. So I think that that's just going to be a matter of if he's a Triple H kind of guy or whoever's making the big calls now, Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, whomever, or if he's more on whatever Vince's side of the fence was, you know, the Kevin Dunns and those types.
Yeah.
As for Johnny Gargano, it is curious that he stayed away from wrestling, you know, that he hasn't really been doing much. So it's very, I could see him maybe surveying the landscape and being like, yeah, where would I be in AEW? Where would I be in WWE if there's going to be an actual chance for me now?
Yeah.
It seems like before Gargano might have been wasted, but now this could be the opportunity for a complete restructuring of what the top of the card looks like.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. And Bray Wyatt sent out a cryptic tweet, and he was like, on his Twitter biography, I don't know if you read this, but on his Twitter biography, it was, had a quote from Vince McMahon saying, kid, reinvent yourself. It's what you do. So that could be another cryptic tweet. I know there's been vignettes running that looked like Edge, but now it's looking like Bray Wyatt. So have you seen the vignettes, by the way, on Raw?
I had seen what I believe was the initial one where they showed like things that represented maybe past superstars or something like that, like something that could have been like emblematic of maybe Kurt Angle, Eddie Guerrero, a couple other people, something like that.
Yeah.
So I'd seen that initial one. I'm pretty much that behind on WWE, so.
Yeah, I think it might be Edge. It would be interesting. A lot of people have been floating around rumors that Bray might come back and SummerSlam and attack Roman, because 2 or 3 years ago Roman came back and attacked Bray Wyatt, and that led him going into God mode for what is it now, like 370 days with the championship or whatever.
Yeah, some ridiculous amount of time. That much is true. And yeah, that's actually a really good point. I do remember that. That is when Roman came back. Yeah, he pretty much, did he destroy Bray in that match, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, he destroyed Bray, and he won, I think he won the championship that night. Because there was supposed to be, like, a mystery opponent, and I think he was the mystery opponent.
And that sounds right.
That's when he lined up with Paul Heyman. But SummerSlam's coming up. I know the majority of the card. I think we need to go over 4 matches because those are the only 4 matches that matter right now.
All
right. Roman versus Brock. We've talked about that ad nauseum. The Street Profits versus the Usos. Ronda versus Liv and Becky versus Bianca. So out of those 4, and I also wanted to talk to you about Montez Ford, but we'll get into that later. Out of those 4, what matches do you want to see, and what matches are you like, man?
I want to see Roman Brock mainly for the possible Money in the Bank aspect to it, or if just to see how it finally ends, because this has to be the last match between these two, right? It can't possibly go on after this, but who knows? So. I want to see it just from a, you know, a fan wants to see a story wrap up and see, okay, well, what's the definitive ending to this? And if it's not going to be the definitive end, how are they going to continue it on? Other than that, let's see. Liv and Ronda should be interesting. I want to see how the chemistry between those two flows. I feel like a lot of these matches are retreads, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like they're giving Liv a shot because Liv keeps getting posted on WWE's TikTok because I follow WWE on TikTok. And this is basically since Sasha and Naomi left, they're giving Liv an opportunity because they see the crowd is behind Liv. And Liv has this spunkiness about her. She's a little bit unpolished. I haven't seen a Liv Morgan match and gone, like, wow, this girl has it. But she has a spunkiness about her. The crowd is behind her. And hopefully she ups her game now that she's been given a shot.
I can agree with you on pretty much everything that you said there. actually. I mean, I like Liv. I think she's got something unique about her. But like you said, yeah, maybe there's still a little bit more time that needs to be put in, and that's difficult to get in a typical WWE schedule, especially when you were primarily more of an, I guess, opening card level, mid-card level, or whatever they've typically used her as.
Yeah.
But now, with the more main event scene, getting to work with different people, longer matches, that could only benefit her, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want to say Ronda's going to lead her, because Ronda's not a wrestler, but, you know, well, but she has been in, like, main event spots before, so the match should be interesting. We both agree that Roman's probably going to beat Brock. I'm assuming that Seth is his next challenger, but what I think is, I think either two things are going to happen. I think Cody's going to win the Royal Rumble and face off against Roman at WrestleMania, or I think The Rock is going to somehow do something and face off against Roman at WrestleMania. Those are the two options I can see right now.
Yeah, those do seem like the best options, I would say.
So,
and I guess that's going to depend, though, on Rock's filming schedule and with Cody's rehab schedule. I mean, those are the biggest factors right there.
Yeah, I mean, do you see anybody else challenging Roman in the near future? Because, I mean, we can't – I mean, I would love to see Gunther or AJ Styles or even Ricochet. Those are three matches that I definitely want to see. But I can't see them pushing Ricochet to the moon because they don't know what to do with them. Gunther is already a heel, and AJ is on Raw, and they don't seem to really care about him other than being the veteran mid-carder guy.
That's a fair assessment from everything I've seen recently, or at least kept up on. It's funny you said Gunther first, because I was thinking that would be a tremendous match. You said he's working heel right now, so I don't know how well he would do as a face. I've mainly seen him do heel work. I feel like maybe he had a little bit of time on the indies where he was kind of just working as that, like, stern face, you know, like, yeah, just, like, strong dude who chops the living shit out of people so he gets applauded. So, I mean, maybe he could just do that. They could easily just turn what his character is and just make him a badass dude. He's a big, imposing figure. He's gotten into tremendous shape. I just saw the most recent shots he posted online of his physique. Dude looks great. Yeah. I mean, I've watched him transform for so many years now. It's amazing.
Yeah, he's in the best shape of his life. The thing is that he's not going to work those stiff-style matches that he worked in the indies, which made us all love him so dearly. But I really want to see that match. I really want to see Ricochet bounce off the ropes for him. But even a guy like Mustafa Ali, but that's not going to happen. They're not going to book him realistically to just, if anything, if that happens, they're going to squash him. That's how I feel.
Yeah, probably. But that's also going to be, we still got to think about all those rumors, you know, within the last few months of Roman Reigns wanting to work a reduced schedule and all that kind of stuff too. Yeah. So you got to think long term with where the company is looking to go, who they're looking to put on top next, what supporting acts they want on top as well. This is all a possibility where things could actually shuffle. You could easily look at SummerSlam as the event to kind of turn to the next chapter.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I mean, they do have that event in like Wales or Glasgow, Scotland. So I think Drew McIntyre is going to be the next challenger. And that match hasn't really happened yet. It's not a match that I really, really want to see, but I haven't seen before. So that'll be a nice change up.
Yeah, I could agree with that. And I heard that tickets were doing incredibly well for that show before they even announced anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just going to be a hell of a show. Is that an actual live event that they're going to stream?
Or yeah.
They're
going to stream that because that's how they did SummerSlam early in July, at the end of July, because they wanted to get in that England show or that Scotland show or wherever it was. So that's why they streamed it early. So that's why they streamed SummerSlam early. But anyway, let's move on to I want to talk about the Street Profits versus the Usos, because I wanted to get your thoughts on Montez Ford possibly turning into a single star. Because I feel like this whole Montez Ford, Angelo Dawkins thing isn't going to last that much longer. Because they've been talking about Tez like he's the next big thing. So do you think this is a Jannetty, Shawn Michaels type of thing?
Ooh, that's rough. I mean, there is definitely more potential in a singles run for Montez. That is for sure. He's definitely got something unique about him, both in the ring, character-wise. He's got that charisma, so he's got a lot of what is required for the complete package. Kind of like you said about Liv, still a little raw in some aspects, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe there's some polishing that needs to be done, but again, you know, a lot of his career has been in the WWE, and if you're only working that kind of style with so many people, like, how many times have we seen that same tag match? Usos, Street Profits. Quite a bit, right?
Right.
But at the same time, that's a good two people to be learning a lot from. Even if you're going to transition off into a singles run after that, you have all that ability that you picked up from working tags, and you've also potentially preserved your body a little bit for all that time.
Yeah.
Do I think it'll be Sean Jannetty's situation? I mean, I've seen Angelo talk online about how he knows people are sleeping on him and you haven't seen half of what he could do. That's great, but then it's a matter of showing people half of the other half of what you could do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of just saying that.
Yeah.
So I don't think he'll completely flounder, at least at first, but then it's a matter of what he's going to do to change it up from this current gimmick that he's got to sort of become something of his own.
Yeah, and I don't want to be that mean in terms of like making a main event jobber, because obviously I could see Angelo Dawkins being like a super mid-card character, but I mean, once I see like Montez, I think of the, you know, he's a handsome man, he jumps out of the building, he's got the promo skills, and clearly Angelo reminds me of like the D'Lo Brown, like solid mid-carder guy that can fill in the spot if necessary and maybe up his game a little bit. But I'm just talking about maybe this is holding Tez back. Because, you know, I don't see a lot of athleticism in Liv, but I do see the quirky, cute, underdog kind of character. But with Tez, I see some, like, freaky-deaky athleticism, undeniable promo skills, just like that fire you need to have in that baby face. So that's why I'm thinking, like, it might be beneficial for him to, like, turn singles in the long run. I'm just wondering how it happens.
Yeah, I know you said he's got everything to be a fiery babyface, so maybe the thing you need is for Angelo Dawkins to be like, hey, what the hell are you doing? Why are you, you know, taking all the spotlight? Turn on him sort of thing. It could be just that simple. You could have your heel, you could have your face, you could have your inevitable feud between the two of them, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Well,
I mean, yeah, no matter what, though, that is going to make Montez Ford still wind up being the better looking of the two in the situation, because he's going to come out on top of that, and he's not going to lose that feud. But at the same time, I think that would be just a great chance for both of them to show what they could do singles-wise, because they probably know each other so well.
Yeah.
Having had team together for this long. So, yeah. I mean, I would hope that would translate over. You've seen a lot of partners have great matches with each other. You've seen some be kind of over the years, so you never really know.
Yeah, and I don't see this as like Usos long-term tag run thing. Is there anything else you wanted to cover on SummerSlam before we moved on? I know we were going to talk about Becky versus Bianca for a little bit, so do you want to plug that in any way, shape, or form?
Seems like a match that's happened a few times. I'm not personally that interested in it. I'm not sure why Becky hasn't lit the world on fire for me since she returned. Not sure why, just something about it. Just, it's not the same momentum that she had, before she had to take time off. Then, she took time off for a good reason. And it just feels like they're doing the same thing there. And I just feel like super duper needs polishing is, Bianca. And that's my opinion. Anytime I watch her, I feel like I notice things that she could be doing a little differently.
Okay.
So for me, it's always like, there's just certain NXT wrestlers who I feel like just rest, like I still call them NXT wrestlers, because that to me is like that. They came up a certain way with a certain style.
Yeah.
That's like all they show that they're capable of. Sort of like you were saying about Angelo Dawkins. It's sort of that same thing for me. Just, I see a lot more in her because I know that the company sees money in her and that they've been pushing her to the moon. So, you know, go for it. If it works, go for it.
Yeah. So when you were talking about that style, is that the way you're talking about, like, the way she works matches and in terms of, like, the ability to not diversify her style? Because she does kind of work the same match, you know, power, hair flip, athleticism. I'm the best, I'm the strongest, I'm the, you know, she doesn't really deviate from any of that. So I think I know where you're getting at there.
Yeah, and there's been other wrestlers who were like that too. Like, if you look back at, like, in Eric Rowan, for instance, when he was in WWE, did he ever wrestle differently from the time he was in NXT as a character to WWE main roster? He wrestled essentially the same exact thing. Or you look at, I mean, there's got to be other great examples right off the top of my head. But you know what I'm saying? I don't want to keep burying people is the other thing on here. But there's definitely people, even to an extent, someone I've become a big fan of now, but like Rusev, when he was there, he got better, but he still always just wrestled that same kind of match that he had.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, there's a lot of that talent, a lot of that talent.
But I think we've just discussed WWE a lot. So we want to say bye-bye, Vince McMahon. We're not going to congratulate you on your retirement because we know why you left. And unlike the WWE, we're not going to be like, thank you, Vince, because we know why you left. We will say that you started Sports Entertainment. We're happy for that, but we're not going to say anything otherwise. Is that fair?
I can agree with that. Vince McMahon definitely help create something amazing for all of us. It just sucks in general in wrestling how many people seem to be just terrible, awful, bad people. But hopefully as time goes on, it's gonna just be the good people in control of things, good people working in the business. And I mean, I know that's impossible for it to be all good apples in the basket, but it just seems like we're living in a world where it's a lot easier for people who've done terrible things to be called out for them, and we're seeing them start to get what's coming to them.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
It is what it is. Do bad things and that shit comes
You'll
back
get
to
caught.
You.
And if you have been in any sort of situation where somebody has done anything to you, please report it, and please do yourself a favor and get as far away from it as possible. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Hell yeah.
But anyway, on to All Elite Wrestling. We have, I know that they promoted the ROH pay-per-view. It's hard for me to bring the two of them up, but since AEW owns Ring of Honor, I guess that's what we got to do. So Claudio Castagnoli is the new Ring of Honor champion. And we are both extremely thrilled that Claudio got the big win, but at the same time, Jonathan Gresham left because he was complaining about the way AEW treated him. And as I texted you, maybe this is because he's a Sinclair guy and he wrestles that indie style and he wanted Terminus. So, is this for you? Does that taint Claudio's win? Does Claudio, like, does this legitimize Claudio as a main eventer? I mean, how do you feel about this whole scenario?
I think a few things. I think this energy drink is great, so thank you again to that cashier. I also think that there is a chance Gresham stepping away from wrestling. He said something about that. So I don't know if what's going to happen with Terminus. It said that the Twitter page was down. I haven't checked it in the last few days since I read that. So I don't know. I heard that maybe a part of it could have even been the creative that they were putting him with. Was it true they were putting him with Tully Blanchard?
Yeah.
or something like that. And yeah. you know Tully Blanchard's daughter has a lot of heat. And I don't know if some of that heat goes along with Jonathan Gresham's wife, Jordynne Grace.
Yeah.
Are they married? I'm not sure.
Yeah, they are married. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
cool. Yeah, I didn't want to speak out of turn if they, you know, weren't or not, but I thought they were. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, I just look at little pieces like that sometimes where there's some things that are unsaid. So I could see maybe that being, like, what else would you have a problem with creative? Right off the bat, they put Jonathan Gresham on TV. They were booking him, but maybe he was unhappy that he was going to be putting over Claudio, or I don't know. Who knows on that one? I don't think it really taints the victory so much. I think that no matter what, Claudio was probably going to be the guy once they had the chance to use
him. Yeah, yeah.
I think that that's a perfect way to rebuild the brand. Some of the big names that they're using, like a Samoa Joe, a Jay Lethal, Claudio, like those were names who've mattered to Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And even kind of at different points, if you really look at it, you know? Mm-hmm. Joe's, look at when his big reign was.
Yeah.
By the time he was winding down, Claudio was starting to build his name up. By the time he was winding down, Lethal was starting to build his name up.
Yeah.
So that's actually kind of, I mean, Lethal was there the whole time, but, you know, that was pretty cool to look at, the way that they're kind of doing that.
Yeah.
And then you've got your newer guys who fit in with that style. Wheeler Yuta, Daniel Garcia, even FTR, how well they fit in with the Briscoes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just like match made in heaven right there.
I know. Did you by chance happen to catch any of that 2 out of 3 falls match? Because I didn't really take a look at any highlights of the pay-per-view or anything. Did you happen to catch any of the highlights or anything?
It's going to be on my viewing tonight. I'm watching that. And I have to decide on G1 Climax. I think I'm only on like day 3 or 4. So I need to decide if I'm going to keep up on that or not. I mean, I'm going to keep up on it, but if I'm going to stay on top of it like tonight or not. Because I've also been heavily debating, as I told you, I believe I mentioned it, about just catching up a little bit on like the Raw and SmackDown side of things.
Yeah.
You know, leading into SummerSlam, get a really good idea of the booking and see if I could start to notice a change.
Because
I said Monday's show would be the last show that was written by Vince McMahon, besides the end was maybe changed or something like that. So it's very possible that this pay-per-view is still going to have some of the original ideas.
Yeah.
But from there's that possibility looming that change is there.
Change is in the air. And obviously it is, with Triple H being the main head of creative. And I don't necessarily agree with Ciampa being Mrs. Lackey, but that's another day for another dollar.
Oh, I didn't even know that. That's horrible. I haven't seen anyone complain about that online yet. I'm surprised.
Well, it's a thing. So I've seen their interactions. It's not like, it's one of those things where Ciampa, they don't know how to utilize him on the main roster, and here's a beast. And NXT, circa Viking Raider, circa Ricochet, circa Aleister Black, circa Scarlett and Karrion Kross. So many names. They just get lost on the main roster.
That's unfortunate when you really start naming all those people and what you could do with all that talent and just that. It's become a joke, essentially.
Yeah.
That's so unfortunate.
Yeah,
that those people's lives, their careers.
Yeah.
Glad they're getting paid, but it's just, my goodness, please let this whole new regime do something with
the people
you mentioned who are still there, and then the people who aren't, if they wanted to come back.
Yeah.
I mean, a guy like Cross wouldn't do that bad. And I feel like he could work in WWE if they just gave him more of that NXT presentation on the freaking main roster. Gives what made him look cool.
He looked like a beast in NXT.
Yeah.
And on main roster, he had like that. He almost had like a sex slave gear thing on him.
He wishes, I'm sure, but.
It was like, well, I'm friends with Scarlett, and I have a little bit of a crush on her, so I'm just like. But I was like, why is Karrion wearing that? Because I'm like, I care about him because he's with my friend. So I obviously have to care about him because of the de facto factor. But obviously, I know that he was, you know, not being, he had that sex slave. Here we go into our next session. Let's talk about Maria Kanellis' promotion, her new women's of wrestling promotion. Is there any female talent on the indies that you wish the world would notice more, or that you, do you care about this whole thing going on with Maria Kanellis? I mean, and Bobby Cruz running this women's wrestling army or whatever?
I didn't really know much of it until you mentioned it to me. So it's something that's not getting a ton of, I mean, it's getting traction, but it's not getting enough, where I'm not seeing people discussing it in a serious enough manner, or like we're doing now, predicting people who could potentially wind up going there. Now, have you heard any names that are listed besides the personnel that are starting it, apparently?
I've heard of Jhenai Kai. I haven't really looked into the rest.
I was going to say Jhenai Kai. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, because I looked at her at Shimmer, and I was like, wow, this girl can go. Because, unfortunately, Nicole Savoy retired. You know, so R.E.P. to her wrestling career. She actually retired at a hood slam event.
Nice.
Which is not the way to go, in my opinion.
Come on. My dream is like a sort of a hood slam-esque promotion, like, that I would have. It would be sort of like an adult-oriented Chikara, sort of like hood slam, but not quite. Like, just in that same vein, though, where they could definitely be cousin promotions.
Yeah.
So, you know, hood slam, it might not be for everyone. I definitely get that. But I'm pretty sure Dark Sheik founded hood slam, and Dark Sheik is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
So if we're going to be talking female talent out there, Dark Sheik's included, Jhenai Kai is included. I know Billy Starks has a huge future ahead of her. Super. Jhenai Kai's got to be super young too.
Yeah.
A lot of these girls are just coming out onto the scene now.
And, yeah.
I mean, they've got decades, probably more decades ahead of their career than I've got on this earth, which is an unfortunate thing to think about. But it's true. When they're like 16, 17, 18 years old, it's like, shit, look at Ric Flair. They could be wrestling when they're 70.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's wild to think about that we're only just beginning to see some of these talent.
Yeah.
Also, someone AEW barely uses, Willow Nightingale, but she's been getting used more and more. Just use her everywhere.
The babe with the power, you know? Yes. And she's like somebody I could see on the disco floor just like busting out like corny dance moves that makes people go like, wow, she's actually dancing like that. Like, she's got that corny sense of humor. Like, Delilah Doom has the same corny sense of humor. So,
Another good name, Delilah Doom.
I'm a Doomy. I know Delilah has a Richard Simmons-esque gimmick, and we've become friends. She follows me on Instagram, so shout out to Delilah Doom.
I liked her original, like, darker persona kind of too, but I like the Richard Simmons-esque fitness gimmick just because it's different, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just do something that's cool.
Yeah,
like,
what do you think about her fiancé, Eli Everfly?
Really good, young, high flyer. Another guy who does a lot of, like, spot stuff in the ring, admittedly, if I was going to say that. Not as an insult or anything. He's very, very good at it. But I'd like to see him just do, you know, start incorporating some more chain wrestling and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Obviously, like I say about everybody, I sound old, but slow down just a tad bit. Because there's been times I've seen him do some really risky-looking shit, and it doesn't look pretty, and it doesn't end very pretty either.
Yeah.
I feel he might have been involved in the spot where Marco Stunt broke his leg in GCW sometime back. I feel like it was a Canadian Destroyer on the floor between the two of them, and somehow Marco taking the bump broke his leg or something along those lines. The camera was kind of like behind the crowd, so you saw like part of it happening, and then you just saw all the other shit. This was a little while back. I'm sure you remember when Marco was still a part of AEW.
Yeah.
He was out injured. That's when that happened, but it's just stuff like that where you think like unnecessary risks, and that's not just an Eli Everfly. That's so many
some wrestlers. People just doing crazy shit.
But, yeah, I think that part of that's me getting older and just looking at it like, ooh, your body can't endure that.
Yeah, should we talk about like the Canadian Destroyer becoming the new side headlock? Because it seems like everybody's doing the Canadian Destroyer. And when we first saw it, we were like, ooh, Petey Williams, you know, flipping pile driver. This is amazing. And now everybody and their mother is doing a Canadian Destroyer to get like a cheap pop. So, I mean, it used to be awesome, but now it's just like a side headlock.
Hey, at least Control Your Narrative doesn't allow Canadian Destroyers. Have you seen their product?
No, I haven't, but I watched a little bit of it. It started with the promo. Do you want to elaborate on their product a little bit more? Because I watched a little bit of their YouTube video, and then I was like, meh.
You know, their first, I think they did one show that was kind of different, gimmicky, and then they did a second show that actually had more official rules to it, if I'm remembering correctly. That show that had more of the official rules with a referee, and they told little stories about each of the guys, which I actually appreciated. So yeah. You got some backstory, you got why they were there, like they did like a little voiceover type thing, maybe a little video package. I actually dug the presentation of it. I liked the way it was being done. The crowd was really, really behind it. They weren't, you know, because I thought, oh, man, the way some of these smarky fans are reacting to it online, they're going to show up and crap all over this. It really didn't seem like that. You know, it seemed like they're actually giving it a chance and that it was people just wanting to see something presented differently.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're just not going to see super kicks, Tope Suicidas or Canadian Destroyers. And yes, they did a spot where somebody did one of the moves, I don't remember what, but he did it. He got like carried out by a bunch of the wrestlers. So it was just kind of funny that they still, you know, did something like that.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like outcast-ish wrestlers, maybe some people who just don't really have a place to be, be it politically or whatever reason why, you know, your Austin Aries's of the world, your EC3, guys like that. Cause like, I never heard of EC3 having problems with anyone. You always heard Austin Aries having problems with people.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't speculate, but I thought it was just cool to get to see that kind of talent together.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as everybody thought it was gonna be.
Okay.
That's for sure.
Okay. And stories, presentation. I know they got Austin Aries. I know Karrion agreed, or Killer Cross and Adam Scherr, aka Braun Strowman, and EC3, so they got names. You know, my only issue with somebody like Austin Aries is the fact that he lets his personality get in the way of his wrestling ability sometimes.
That's why I'm hoping this new platform allows people like that to just get to be themselves to the extent that they don't have to have those bad parts of them come out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, they'll just be happy. Yeah. They'll be at peace with their booking, I guess. Or whatever makes wrestlers unhappy. I don't know.
I mean, when the way they're getting booked is like, you know, it makes them unhappy. So sometimes it's the promoter and sometimes it's the wrestler not working hard enough to get over. And even when they do work hard enough to get over, the company doesn't care. All at WWE with Zack Ryder. So it's like, I mean, in the long run, I guess, let's talk about that. If a wrestler works hard enough to get over and the company doesn't give a shit, like in a Zack Ryder type of scenario, should the wrestler look to continue to wrestle, or should he just look for another job in another way? I mean, Zack Ryder obviously worked with Matt Cardona, but winning like 10 million championships. But, I mean, if a wrestler's not getting over, should they consider another line of work? Should they keep trying? You know, because it's all about mental health here. So what do you think they should do?
I think that for at least most, there's going to be those people who get into the business and it's just not for them for whatever reason.
Yeah.
They're just not cut out for it physically, mentally especially. It seems that's the one thing you hear from a lot of wrestlers is that it's harder mentally than physically. So I think that other than people like that, there is a spot for the vast majority. It's just they have reinvention is a big key.
Yeah.
You know, not turn 20 different times Big Show style. I just read something today how he was proud of that, because he finds it that it shows the company sees him as being diverse enough, which I can agree with. That's a good trait, that you could be heel or face, but yeah, when they do it so many times, that just reflects bad booking. So that's not on the Big Show by any means. It's not like he ever sat down and said, hey, I want to be a face this week and a heel next week. But I do feel like reinvention can be a big key. You can easily go from a Bray Wyatt swamp character to Bray Wyatt, this complete freak monster. You know, you look at something like that, reinvention did him wonders, but then at the same time, it also completely, in a way, tanked him.
And yeah,
we don't have a Bray Wyatt in the WWE.
Yeah, and I mean, that's like Jericho. He's like the god of reinvention, and yeah, reinvention has made him completely relevant. And to me, he's like the third greatest wrestler of all time behind Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels. If I had to rank them, I'd probably go Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels, and Y2J, if I had to rank.
Wow, what a top three there. How do you feel about Ric Flair wrestling his last match, the tag match that's coming up?
Oh my god, Ric Flair and Andrade versus Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal.
Double J!
Oh my god. Well, firstly,
I would steal a bit from one of my favorite podcasts right now, but I wouldn't do that. You'd have to ask me how I spend my days, but nonetheless.
Okay. Well, firstly, let's talk about the undercard, because the undercard is more valuable than Ric Flair having his last match, when his last match should have been against Shawn Michaels in 2009. That, to me, ruins his legacy partly. And I'll get into that later. But Wolves versus MCMG, Fatu versus Josh Alexander, oh my god. Is that...
That alone right there is like... Yeah, that's a hell of a card. Conrad kept hyping it, saying it was going to be a good one. And, you know, Conrad Thompson, the world-famous podcaster, who we could only aspire to be half as popular as. But,
yeah,
you know, we're trying our best out here.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kept saying, he's like, this undercard's going to be amazing, because I listened to all the shows. So
yeah,
seeing what it shaped up to be, oh my goodness, yeah. I'm actually really excited about it. I read today Rick wanted to do a tope suicida, but Charlotte Flair said he shouldn't.
Oh my god. Well,
yeah,
this...
so we could have got that.
Well, Ric Flair is the greatest wrestler of all time, but I have so many issues with him, like this being his last match when it should have been against Shawn Michaels, and him just talking about his past life ad nauseum. Like, Rick, I get it. You wined and dined. You slept with thousands of women. That, to me, diminishes his legacy partly, because Ric Flair is no doubt the greatest wrestler ever, and he put over so many people, but I'm sick and tired of hearing about him talk about his legacy all the time. Thoughts?
I feel that. You know, I slightly disagree on Rick being the greatest ever, but that is neither here nor there. He's definitely among them. But, yeah, that match with Shawn was definitely, like, how you want to retire.
Yeah.
That was fan-freaking-tastic. I will say some of the stuff he did afterward, you know, I didn't mind for what it was. Like, I think he had a couple decent matches.
Yeah.
Probably in TNA or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, some things that weren't horrible. But yeah, realistically, if somehow the world was right, his TNA run would have happened before the Shawn Michaels match, and that would have still been his retirement. He still could have had TNA in there,
yeah,
and then maybe like just 2 years later or some shit. Just yeah, like life would have been pushed back a couple of years.
Yeah.
I definitely think he retired way too early. He should just, for him, do yeah, like he probably should have retired when he
yeah,
retired, quote unquote. But for Ric Flair being who Ric Flair is, yeah, he should have never at that age been like, oh, I'm done. Because he would probably, the second he said those words, was like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm Terry Funk style. Like, oh, I'm not done. I'm going to keep going.
Yeah, and that's the same with, like, Brett Favre, Tom Brady, and football. Like, they're never going to say they're done. They have to get pushed out. Vince McMahon, like, that to me diminishes Flair's legacy. It's a fact. He's always talking about the bygone days, and he wants to have his last match. And But that's just my personal opinion. I mean, if Ric Flair is not the greatest wrestler of all time, who is your greatest wrestler of all time?
That's tough. That's really tough. What are we ranking it on? That's one of those things. Where is it, drawing ability? Is it wrestling ability?
I just want to hear a name. I don't care about drawing ability, wrestling ability. You combine the two. I want to hear a name. Definitively.
That's way too tough because my answer will fluctuate way too often, and it depends what scope we are looking at things as well. Because there are so many people existing right now who what they're doing could potentially supersede stat-wise what other wrestlers have done. So you could, somebody, not me, could argue that Roman Reigns is the greatest of all time just because of how long he's been champion in the modern era and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If you're just looking at a stat, if you were just looking at a dollar sign or something and you said, oh, well, it's fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's the best there ever was because he drew so much money. But then if you're someone like me and you're like, well, I want someone who I watch develop over the years and improve and get good at every aspect of it, then I'd be like, oh, it's Eddie Guerrero. So, or it's Kurt Angle. You know, it would be something like that where it's like, who indistinguishably could go in that ring and have a great match no matter what. And I think you're probably feeling that same thing with Ric Flair because, yeah, you know, Ric didn't have bad matches. It's just for some reason when I was a young kid his matches bored the shit out of me.
Yeah.
So, I except for him and Sting, Great American Bash. I saw that when I was very young and I loved it. But then a lot of his other stuff I just like I felt like once I saw it I just seen enough of it.
Yeah.
I guess you could say that about so many performers.
Yeah.
You know?
I could say the same thing about Hulk Hogan and people think he's the greatest wrestler of all time. But yep. I'll let you off the hook. I won't let you answer the question because you have been my friend for so long. I posted a high school picture of the two of us, and you look almost exactly the same as you did back then.
Yeah, shaved head back then, but very long hair now. Nice Census Fail shirt in that picture. Nice Hanakamura shirt in this video. So, yeah, that was cool to see. I was like, wow. I gotta make sure I'm working out every day because I can tell I was back then.
Yeah, definitely. So we covered Flair. I've let you off the hook with the greatest wrestler of all time. My phone is about to die. I think we should go for like another 5-10 minutes and then my phone will probably die.
That's perfect.
But is there anything you want to say about Stardom before we close the show?
Of course. To quickly promote their upcoming stuff, the 29th. And 30th, they've got two big events. I believe that begins the five-star Grand Prix tournament. The qualifying blocks and all that are over with. So just to follow up on the people who did qualify from that, because we plugged it on here multiple weeks, it wound up being three people because there was a points tie. So instead of there just being one, because originally I wasn't sure how the hell they were doing it, but we did get Ami Sarai. She was the one who had the most points, I believe, for Block A. And then there was the tie between Mei Sakurai and Saya Aida for Block B. So all of them are in there. Your ex-combatant, the mystery, is Saki of the Colors promotion. She just had a great match with Saya Kamatani at the, what the hell is the name of the show? Midsummer Champions in Nagoya. It was another one of their Midsummer Champion series. So the two most recent shows, the 23rd and 24th, it was the Stardom Showcase series, which is basically like gimmick matches. So it was just fucking bonkers, off the walls. There was an elephant bouncy house that got fought in. There was an inflatable rock wall that got dove off of and slid down. There was a wild, that was during a wild four-way match that Azumi wound up winning. It was just insane. There was a casket match with the mystery participant who was Yu from Sendai Girls, who actually wound up winning, beating the white belt champion Saya Kamatani non-title and Starlight Kid, putting both of them in a casket and dragging the fucking casket off to the... This was a giant novelty size, oversized casket. It was hilarious. But Yu is this big, imposing woman, and she just destroyed Starlight Kid and Saya Kamatani. So... we don't know if she's coming back or not. That'll be interesting to see. There was a little bit of a hype package with the owner being in the casket at the end, so it was kind of funny. I don't know. It's just the boss in the casket. He's just a goofy to be doing that, I guess. Other than that, yeah, Five Star Grand Prix, that is the big event. So, I mean, it's going to wrap up, I believe, September. I think it's going to go all through August, wrap up at the very beginning of September. Winner of that gets a shot at the championship at the end of the year. So, I mean, this is the big one. This is where you usually get your match of the year contenders, and Stardom's already had.
All right. Well, I think our next show will be on August 5th, right, for our Stardom show?
Sounds about right.
Okay. So that's a week from now. I won't say anything. I'll let you take the whole lead. Are we just going to watch matches on YouTube and then you and I comment on them? What are we going to do?
We'll figure that out. We could log into my Stardom World account. We could do some of the top-rated matches from, like, Cage Match or something if you want. We could do something very recent. You know, that's where I'll give you a little bit of leeway on this, too.
Okay, that sounds good. SummerSlam is this Saturday. Before we get into Stardom, we can briefly go over that and then get into Stardom. Is there anything you want to plug before I end this? Anything?
Let's see. Just congrats to AEW, almost 10,000 tickets sold for the Arthur Ashe show in September. So they're just continuing to kill it. Wrestling is awesome. Ticket sales are increasing in different places.
Yeah.
Just keep it up. Keep supporting independent wrestling, especially because those are the next names who you're going to see if you already aren't.
Yeah,
ICW, No Holds Barred, coming up in August. They've announced some matches for that. Cruel and John Wayne Murdoch, I'm very excited for. So just one match in general that I'll put over.
All right, now I want to put over the Freelance Underground show on August 13th. This Thing of Ours featuring Project Monix versus Chico Suave. I know Chico Suave was Project Monix's lackey. He was turned on. We all love Chico. So we're hoping and praying that Chico kicks Project Monix's ass.
We will see. He's a pretty cool guy. I've seen him live. I've seen both of them live, obviously.
Yeah. So I'll put over that show. I'll also put over Heather Monroe because she is the Killer Bay. If you've seen her, you'd be like, wow. That girl.
There you go.
Damn. Okay. But that is our 12th show. We will be here next week for the Stardom show.
Yeah.
A whole hour. I know the red belt, and I know they have a trios championship, and I know, the girl with the elbow, Kairi Sane.
Kairi, yes, by just Kairi, all caps now.
Oh,
sort of like Kenta.
Just Kairi, just, and Kenta released a book, released an autobiography on Amazon in Japan, and it sold out.
Damn, I'm very interested in finding some sort of English translation.
Yeah, I was like...
He had a great match with ZSJ for the G1 Climax.
Yeah.
That I did get to see. Zack Sabre Jr., Kenta, good stuff right there.
Yeah, is he still a member of the Bullet Club?
Yeah, I guess he is, because he's still got the whole Bullet Club-themed attire. I was kind of tuned out for a bit, so I tuned back in, and I was just following. That whole House of Torture stuff was just...
Okay. Well, I do hope for an English translation. I asked New Japan and they didn't respond. So I'm assuming there is no English translation yet.
Okay.
But I will see you next week right here at my house for the Stardom show.
Hell yeah.
Don't drink too many energy drinks. We love y'all. Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Love y'all.
All right. I'll post in an hour. Peace.
Awesome. Peace.